sunshine, another day at Simply Gold, another day in the podcast, another day at the office, another day just above the earth, and that's always a good thing to be in. So I'm Alex with Simply Gold. I've also got my cool sidekick here today, Mel St. Germain. Hey, and then we've also got Dave the Man Brown. Your name, your middle name's not the man, but it can be if you want it to be.
You know what? I will go with Dave the Man Brown today. Sounds good.
Dave the Man the Brown. Dave Brown with Dave Brown Mortgage Group and Impact Training, Inc. here local in the DFW market and perhaps nationwide, but we'll let Dave go into that as well. So, Dave, thanks so much for being here today, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I'm excited. You guys look great, and this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yes. We hope so. So, and we hear you also run a podcast as well. So this isn't your first day on the job.
Not my first rodeo, but gosh, I'm telling you, you guys are like upbeat. I love the music. I love the vibe. I'm going to have to like borrow some of these ideas.
Yeah, this is our little studio. So we got into podcasting a couple months ago, and we have an office where you walked in down the hallway, and then we also rent this little space out. Definitely not a finished product. You know, we want to put some decor. Mm-hmm. And soundproofing and things like that. And I hate this table, too.
Yeah, I'm like squished in here.
Yeah, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to put the chairs in a circle and then use like the retractable arm setup so that it'll just kind of be like more of a conversation in front of us.
Nice. Get comfortable, get a beverage, hang out. I love it.
Right. Yes. Or beverages.
Yeah.
All the beverages.
Now, where's Melissa's little pool going to fit in? Because, you know,
she knows about the pool.
She's got
Did you tell him about the pool that we bought?
We're Facebook friends, so he sees my pool on Facebook.
That's funny. Yeah, I know a little something about the pool. Did the pool party last weekend. That was a lot of fun. I had never done that. And I was honestly worried the whole time that the water was going to be cold because it was coming right out of the faucet. Like same day. Mm-hmm. So I had already prepared my mind for like a cold in the pool. I don't like cold water. I think it's boring and miserable and I'm always cold. Like when I get in the pool at my parents' house, I like do this thing with my fingers and like get in real slow and it takes forever. It could take me 20 minutes to get in the water.
Just gonna jump right in. Just be adventurous. Boom.
Yeah, I don't just jump right in.
But no, because it's so hot and humid outside, the water is warm because it's coming from the ground. The ground retains the heat. So. Mm-hmm.
You're so technical. I wouldn't have known that. So how's your above ground inflatable pool, man?
My above ground inflatable pool. I'm gonna have to get one. I actually kind of go do the in ground thing, but it's kind of funny. You're holding your upper extremities, and when I get in, when it's chilly, I hold my lower extremities. So
I don't have to hold anything. I just jump in.
Yeah, Mel just jumps right in. So, well, man, like I said, it's a pleasure to be here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, you know, what kind of things you do on a daily basis, and let's see where the chips fall today.
I love it. So, you know, I tell people all the time, I do three things. I consult, manage, and I negotiate. And there's a lot in there that you can unpack, but the quick story is I moved here to the DFW area almost 3 years ago. Man, I can't believe it. Time's flying.
Yeah.
From Indiana. And so I...
Where at in Indiana?
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay. Yeah, I've been there.
Really?
I know, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There we go. So close to the Michigan border.
I'm a big fan of the Midwest.
Yeah. You know, I lived there, you know, my whole life, and so we picked up and moved here a couple of years ago, and... you know, in there, I've been in the mortgage industry for 30 years, helping people with that dream of home ownership, whether it's first-time buyers, move-up buyers, you know, at the end of your life, maybe they're doing a reverse mortgage, but just all different levels. But my passion the entire time in my mortgage career has been coaching and training and helping develop people.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when I'm not supposed to be training and developing them, I would always kind of be pulled in to help. And so I just took a path of always... building really large sales teams and, you know, kind of at the height of my career, you know, my teams were doing up to $1 billion or more a year in annual sales, a lot. And in the Midwest, you know, we were, you know, low loan amounts, like one third of what they are down here in the DFW area. So, you know, we just, you know, we always said we're grinders, you know, we come out of the Midwest and we're grinders. Now you bring that down to the Texas market and yeah, I'm just loving being here. So it's a lot of fun, man.
Awesome, man. I'm a Texas native myself. I was born in Austin, but I grew up in Chicago. So that's why I'm a big fan of the Midwest. So I've been there. I was there a couple years. So I've experienced the cold, the summer. But a nice summer day in Ohio, Illinois, Iowa, those, man, the grass is so green. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. The last time I was up in Indiana, I was in Indianapolis, great city. You can literally fly in, get an Uber to downtown, and then just leave. You can walk the whole city, like the whole weekend.
Sweet.
You can do everything. You can go to the mall. You can eat at all these restaurants. You can go to museums, all within a walking radius of downtown Indianapolis. And it's, I don't know if you want to say it's safe or whichever, but there's so many tourists there. So like all night, there's something to do, and it's kind of, you have this safe feeling. That's my perception of how I perceived it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And again, Chicago is a great city. You know, I was from where I was in Fort Wayne, I could get to downtown on the Gold Coast there, Chicago, in about 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours. But Indianapolis feels a little safer than, you know, than Chicago right now. But
right.
What a great city. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to Chicago lately?
I have not been to Chicago.
It's scary.
West Virginia is as close as I got.
Really? I would love to go to West Virginia. Whenever I travel, I keep going left instead of right. So I go to Vegas religiously. And so then I also have been to like California and Arizona. So like I just keep going that direction. I never go right. So I've never been to Virginia. Actually, no, wait, I take it back. I've been to Virginia Beach. Is that in Virginia? Or is that, am I just making it up?
I would assume.
Okay.
I've been to New York. That's as far north.
You've been in New York City or just New York State?
No. My mom's family grew up in Syracuse. So upstate New York, not New York City. So
very cool.
Beautiful, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. We flew into Buffalo and nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about New York, people, when they think of New York, they think of the big city, New York, New York, right? And so when you get upstate, there is just thousands and thousands of open
It's all country. She grew up in the country.
It blows you away when you get up there, but everybody thinks of it as the big city, and it's so much bigger than the city. So a lot of fun.
It was cool to drive through. Like,
have you been to Buffalo, New York?
Yeah, that's where we flew in.
Okay, yeah. Have you been to the Anchor Bar up there?
No.
So the Anchor.
I flew with my Grammy, my mom, and my 3 children. So there was, we stayed at Embassy Suites though, so that's the only bar I got to hit.
So the Anchor Bar is the original Buffalo Wild Wing, or Buffalo Wing, what they say.
Hmm.
So if you go there, all the locals order tons of Buffalo Wings, and there's tourists and all alike.
Okay. Well, what about the raincoat? Have you two experienced and wore the raincoat at Niagara Falls?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, we went to Niagara Falls.
Okay. Yep. The little tugboat and everything.
Oh, we didn't go on the boat. My children were acting a fool.
Yeah. So I had a rental car. I drove from Texas to Buffalo, to Niagara Falls. Drove into Canada, and on my way back, they made me turn the car off, search the car, and ask me where I got the rental, because they were so surprised that I had driven from Texas. I guess it was a red flag that I had this car from Texas, and I was just aimlessly traveling back into the U.S.
Oh, wow.
You're like, I'm just road tripping.
Well, he goes, where are you coming from? And I look behind me, and I go, Canada?
You're like, yeah.
Well, today they just wave you on in and say, keep on going, right?
Checkpoints are, have you ever been in a checkpoint also? I've been in a few of them because they're also like outside of El Paso. So if you drive outside of El Paso back upstate through Texas, there's checkpoints there too.
So my ex-husband is a truck driver. So we always got stopped at Scales whenever I was with him. So that was always horrible. Sometimes they would search.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always fun.
I've always been curious about the scales because I do a lot of driving all over across the United States. I love to travel through driving, and I just never see anybody stopping at the scales. So I don't know how those work.
So it really is it depends where you are. Some are super crazy and some are chill, like just keep on going. But they weigh you as you're driving. So like you have to slow down, and if it's backed up, you have to stop. But they weigh you to make sure you're not over your limit. And if you're over your limit, you have to have a permit. And then in New Mexico, they are crazy. Like, it doesn't matter anything. You have to bring your paperwork into the office to show what the reason is. Like, when we moved to Texas, it was just, the truck was just full of, like, household items and my vehicle.
Right.
And we still had to, like, bring in paperwork to show that all the stuff was, like, good to go. It was weird.
That's crazy. That's weird. That's a whole nother life for Mel. She's not living the truck driver life anymore, obviously.
Oh, I never lived it. I just every once in a while, like, got stuck in there.
So could you drive the truck? Did you ever drive it?
No, I didn't have a CDL. No, I wasn't interested.
I would drive a truck.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be totally cool.
So the one that he drove mostly when we were married, I was married, I'm better now, was like 15 to 18 gears. And that, like, intimidated the crap out of me. Plus, like my depth perception is not good at all. So I'm like, probably not. And I'm queen of the curb. So probably not a good idea.
So you can never drive my car. I drive a low profile car.
I don't
car.
Drive little cars. I do not. That's why I have the Jeep and yep. I had a truck. Like, and I got big old tires. So me and the curb, like we just chat and we're done.
I noticed that. We walked in together. Your Jeep has big old knobby tires like your butt back in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. With snow and ice. I mean, you got those big old knobby tires on that thing.
So I grew up in Oregon. So I like, I mean, my Jeep is four-wheel drive. It never goes off of four-wheel drive. But you can turn it to snow and sand and all these things.
That's cool.
So
I've been to Oregon.
Yeah, I love Oregon. So I want to be able to drive.
Been to Seaside. Yeah. I've been to, what's those towns south Oregon?
Like,
gosh,
on the ocean?
No, I want to pull it up. Let me see. Let me look here.
So I grew up in Grants Pass, which is very southern. Rogue River is the area. So, but it's super like hippy dippy kind of trash.
So Medford.
Okay, yeah, that's like 30 minutes from Grants Pass.
Medford. Oh yeah, I can see it now. So I've been there's to Medford, Ashland, and what I liked about Ashland, I think it was it's like a Shakespeare Park out there. Have you been there? Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool too. They say if you walk through the Shakespeare Park over there, you can see celebrities like. It's like a if you know, you know kind of place for celebrities. So they'll go and they'll perform at this Shakespeare thing. And like people won't, they'll either not recognize them or they're just indifferent because so many celebrities go through there all the time.
Yeah.
And
no,
perform.
That wasn't, I was horseback my whole childhood. Like if it didn't include a horse, I was not interested.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Dave, you've been in Texas a while. You love it. It's a great transition. What other aspects of, you know, just being in this environment has really helped grow your mortgage business? And, you know, how have you made that transition over to where you are now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And let me step back and answer the question by sharing a little story, if you don't mind. So it's been about, I also have a coaching business. And so it's been about 3.5 years ago, I was in Florida at a convention or a meeting with a bunch of my coaching clients. And my son at the time was 22 going on 23. Had just brought him into the mortgage industry. And so I was exposing him to all these people in the industry that were very successful. And when that was over, we spent a few days at a hotel on the beach together and talked, and kind of a cool moment. We were hanging out at the pool, having a beer together, and he said to me one of the smartest questions that I think he's ever asked me. And he said, "Dad, what would you tell your 22-year-old self that you haven't told me yet?" And I kind of thought about it for a minute, and I was like, that is really good, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I shared with him was, I said, you know, you're in the mortgage industry, you're always going to work hard. It's a great career, but it's hard, right? It's not easy. People that are good make it look really easy. And in that industry, we get paid based upon, you know, commission, and it's based upon the size of the home. And so I said, you know, I wish somebody when I was younger, your age, would have said to me, get out of the Midwest, go somewhere that's more year-round for multiple reasons. One, you know, depending upon the weather, you being in Chicago and we would get that weather pattern. Sometimes in the winter after Thanksgiving for a couple of months, literally the real estate industry could, you know, literally be cut by, say, 40 to 50% every year. You just never knew what you were going to get, right? And so I said, you know, I would go somewhere that's more year-round, business friendly, where the sales prices of homes are larger and that there's just massive growth opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, oh, okay, well, you know, this sounds good. Where would we go or where should I go? And, you know, I labeled some states that, you know, I kind of went with the states like Texas that didn't have state income tax, that were pro growth, pro business. And we started traveling as a family around checking out different areas. And at first it was, he was going to move. And then all of a sudden he fell in love with the Metroplex. And so we came down and visited for a week and kind of looked around. And, you know, I just said to my wife, you know what? I work out of my house and we can go anywhere.
Right.
And so then I've got a younger son that's 4 years behind him. And I just thought, you know what? Let's keep the boys together in the same community. Even though they don't live together, we'll keep them close. But it started with that question, you know, what should I do or what do you think that you would have done differently, so to speak? And so once we got here, obviously the Metroplex is just crazy with the growth. I mean, there's no way, right?
Right.
You know, I had some friends in last night from Indiana and was driving them around and taking them out for some good old barbecue.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to Hutchins up in Frisco.
Oh, I've never been. Have you been there?
No, I've heard of it though. I've heard good things.
Oh man, it's good. It's good. So I had ranked it. You know, there's the Heart Eight out here in the colony. And they were like, well, we've been there once before. I said, I've got something that I think is a little better than Heart Eight.
If you haven't tried the ribeye at Heart Eight, you're missing out.
Really?
Yeah, they cook it on a bed of onions, like open flame, like on the stuff, same stuff they're using to char everything else.
Oh, my gosh.
So nice. It's got like a smoked flavor.
Okay.
It's badass.
I may be going to Heart Eight in a couple of days.
Get the ribeye.
Okay, the ribeye it is.
It's a little pricey, so get prepared to drop like $32, but it's fantastic.
That's okay, man, but it's all good. But yeah, so getting here has just been an incredible journey of kind of rebuilding a business down here, meeting people. And that's how I met Mel, just getting more involved with some networking groups and getting out into the community. And, you know, when you meet Mel, I mean, you know, for the audience, you can't see her, but she's got a smile that kind of lights up a room and she just kind of draws you in as this friendly person. And next thing you know, here I am sitting on this, you know, world renowned podcast, you know, with these two people. And
I love it.
You know, I mean, where else in America can you go?
Right.
And something like this happens.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I'm so thankful that we met because you have so much knowledge to share on so many different realms. Like, your energy is also
but
incredible.
How do you choose like which energy to throw out? I mean, I've never mastered multitasking businesses like that. Like, this is all I do, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard and seen other people that do like different things. So like, how do you, when you wake up, how do you know like what you're going to fire that day or whichever?
Yeah. You know, for me, it's easy because it's in the same exact wheelhouse. Okay. And so, you know, I have friends and other people, that do multiple businesses where, you know, I think if you're at a place in your career where you can just be a passive investor, you know, you can just let it rip and have a lot of different businesses. But if you're actively in the business, you've got to really choose where you're putting your time. And so for me, I stay pretty close to the same wheelhouse of, even when I was actively running mortgage companies, really large billion-dollar sales teams, I was still always coaching, training, and mentoring the sales team, right? And so the transition now is I'm not running a sales team for a company. I don't want anything to do with managerial responsibilities. I love to lead. So now I just stay in the mortgage lane, writing mortgages, helping people with that, and then also have turned it to leading people, helping them kind of grow their careers through coaching. So it's still in the same exact wheelhouse. I now just have two different buckets where there's income.
Yeah.
Where before it was all getting paid by the said company, whether I was coaching or writing a mortgage, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you do a lot of speaking. I see all of your posts about you're here, you're there. You're everywhere.
Wow, thank you. I'm trying to be. You know, it's you know, and the internet's so hard because it's like people stand there and beat their chest. And,
right. And
you guys are experts, you know, on social media marketing. And that's, you know, why
only
I'm here.
On LinkedIn.
You know, only on LinkedIn. Yep. Okay, well, hopefully we talk about that because, you know, there's so many people out there that are beating your chest. And so I struggle with that, standing on a soapbox and you know, talking about, you know, I'm all this because, you know, I just am all about giving value. And when people get to know me, they understand that, you know, that old John Maxwell quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And that's kind of the premise of my business and my, you know, my business life.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to know that I care about them first and foremost. And then if I'm their flavor and they, you know, they want some help, I'm there to jump in and help.
What flavor are you? Are you a spicy marginero? What do they call it? Spicy manganero? Mango habanero, spicy habanero.
Or a little Asian zing. Or, in there.
Man, I love Asian zing.
So do I.
I do love Asian zing. So, yeah, let's say you're at Buffalo Wild Wings. Is that your flavor of choice? Is Asian zing?
I'm going to have to say it's going to be the, I'm going to say the Asian zing. Yeah. How about you, Mel?
Oh, I don't think I've ever been to a Buffalo Wild Wings, so I don't know. But if I had to pick my Wild Wing sauce, I'm going to go, basic style.
I'm basic style. I like buffalo sauce. I like a hardcore buffalo sauce.
I also I've had the garlic parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I'm a sucker for garlic. Like, I don't care how bad I smell, just give me all the garlic. Keeps the vampires away.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't been to Buffalo Wild Wings in a long time, though. Yeah, so. If you could, Dave, you know, consider yourself in another market after this, you know, is that even an option or is this kind of be kind of your home base where you're going to plant your feet for the next several years?
You know, the short answer is I think this is home base. Mm-hmm. This, I just told my friends from Indiana last night, this is home. This has become my home. when we first got here 3 years ago, I thought of it as 3 to 5, and then I was moving to Florida.
I love Florida.
I just love being on
not,
the water.
I'm not from Florida, and I have no roots there, but that sunlight, it hits way different.
It does. And the water, just having water that close. But this is going to be home. I just, so I could see, you know, staying here and then having some sort of a place back in the Midwest. We sold everything back there. But I think, as you mentioned, the summers in, you know, northern Indiana up into Michigan, they're the best.
Yeah.
You know, from about June through September.
Mm-hmm. I went to Grand Rapids, Michigan last summer or 2 summers ago. Man, what a blast. I'm telling you, the food, the culture. They had a restaurant like at this skyscraper, quote unquote, you know, it was like probably 25 stories up. You could see everything gorgeous. Nice. They have wineries out as you get to the Michigan kind of area as you go back towards Chicago that I never even knew existed. Because when I was in Chicago, I was young. I was in like middle school or elementary school. So I wasn't old enough. So as I've gotten older, I've gotten back out there and there's a lot to do. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and when you get into northern Michigan like that, there are just some beautiful things. One of the guys I was with last night was from Holland, Michigan, just a little further north.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you get up there on the Great Lakes, and it's just a beautiful place. So I think I'm kind of getting to the point where I don't need to be in Florida with, you know, with a boat on the ocean, but
right,
you know, definitely.
I don't either. Tampa's my jam.
There's lots of sharks there.
Yeah, I don't actually. So I don't get in the ocean. I'm afraid to get stung by jellyfish. That's my phobia for the ocean. My son got stung by a jellyfish when I went
I've been stung by a jellyfish.
Like he was traumatized. I'm like, I almost peed on him. Like, I guess.
Just don't make it a big deal. Like, it just happens. It's like when you're in the river and a fish touches you. Like, it just happens. It's fine.
No, a fish touching you is way different than getting stung by a jellyfish.
You have to make it a chill situation. I've been stung lots of times. I used to surf. Like, running out, you get stung a lot.
How is that fun? Why would you go back? Why is that enjoyable? How is surfing more enjoyable than getting stung by a jellyfish?
Well, so it's kind of like a high thing. Like you are standing up, you are defying gravity, and you are on top of the water, standing up, like, and you are maneuvering yourself.
Good. I'm not slamming it. I'm just saying it's not
for
me.
I'll put you on a boogie board and I'll tow you out. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, there are sharks in the ocean. And so, you know, a couple of years ago, we were in the Tampa area, and I love that area. So, you know, that's kind of one of the areas I kind of thought we would go move to, and we ended up moving here. But we did one of the dolphin tours, and they take you way out there, and, you know, like, we're bobbing around in the water, and there's dolphins swimming around us. And then all of a sudden, I had this odd thought of, oh, man, we're, like, way out here. There's also sharks out here, and you know, I was like, no thanks, I'm kind of getting back in the boat.
Right.
Well, and the warmer the water, the larger sharks come in on. So I'm good with the cold water. I know you're not cool with cold water, but
no, it's not for me.
I'm all about the cold water. In Oregon, the water is freezing, so it's all about cold water. Sharks don't like cold water.
Okay, I'm gonna stick with you. I'm sticking with the lakes. I can surf behind the boat. Right, I can still get the same exhilaration.
I swim in the lakes here in Texas. Swim in the lakes wherever. Have you done? So where, like, in Texas, have you been? Just Dallas?
Pretty much Dallas. I've been over, you know, the Austin area. We've been down to Houston, San Antonio. But I keep hearing, like, oh man, there's like another 8 hours of across the state that you haven't even experienced yet.
Yeah.
So it's on the list.
If you like wine, Fredericksburg is amazing. And a lot of fun. It's a cheese wine thing.
Oh, they have like a great atmosphere. Yeah. I've never been there, but like I see all the pictures of people.
No, we're talking like 40 wineries or so.
Oh my gosh. Is that in what they call the hill country?
Right.
Okay. And that's where? Over.
So if you're in Austin downtown, it would be like west and then north, like northwest a hair, only like an hour.
Oh, okay.
Like through a country road.
Okay.
So as you're like 30 minutes out, it's already starting to like go up and down. Then you see the trees and it turns green. And then, boom, you're in Fredericksburg. And it's like this little town that I think wine in Texas is a forced thing. I don't think it's supposed to be here because all the wines kind of taste like feet, in my opinion. And I love wine. So they've like bastardized wine and created this fun area of wineries. So like, just, I mean, it's kind of goofy, but it's also fun. I mean, So with the wine, there's places you can get steak, which is phenomenal because there's a ton of cows here and blah, blah, blah. And so it's cool. You should check it out.
Very cool. I'll put it on the list.
Yeah, definitely something you should put on the list.
I'm kind of into the brewery scene. So, you know, I use the Untappd app and and love finding new breweries around. And so, you know, that's a whole nother thing. I think Texas has some really good breweries, but I think they're catching up to other parts of the country. I think they were, when I first got here, you know, servers would tell me, oh, this is amazing. And I'm like, using your expression, it tastes like feet. It's like, no, that's horrible. It's ranked a 3.0 out of 5. That's
I just don't think grapes are supposed to be growing in Texas.
No.
There you go.
So favorite breweries? Do you have a favorite brewery, Mel?
I do not. I haven't been to that many. So I lived in San Diego for a while, and like, I just don't feel like Texas is at that level yet of their amazing brewery
community
situation.
Brewery. That's what you got to do. You got to go to community brewery.
Three Nations was
and
pretty
Three
cool.
Nations.
I liked Three Nations. Have you been to Three Nations?
I was just there last evening, helping support them.
Yeah, I like them.
Community is my jam.
What about Celestial? You been to Celestial downtown?
Have you been to Four Corners?
No.
In the district, Arts District, Bishop Arts, it's over there. Mm-hmm. It's called Four Corners.
Haven't been to that.
They've
one.
Been screwed. So the Four Corners Brewery, the beer that you'd buy at the store, it used to have the whole top of the can used to come off. So it would be the entire cylinder topping opening of the can would come off, like a can of tuna, that, right? And their whole shtick was when you put the can of beer to your face to drink it, then you because the mouth was so wide that you could also smell it. So then you would getting the aroma of it, and then that affects your palate, right? So then the can creator went out of business or something like this. And like now they don't make them anymore. But like for so long, that was their thing. They had this can that when you open it, it would create the whole mouth. So you could drink it almost like it was a cup. So you wouldn't have to pour that into a cup. You could just drink it from the can.
So what's your favorite beer from a brewery? Like any brewery, what's the name of your favorite beer?
I was hoping you were going to ask me what my favorite beer is, because that would have been easier.
No, I already know what your favorite beer. I'm talking about brewery.
It's weak. My favorite beer is not fine at all.
What's your favorite? Anywhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Texas. Mine's not in Texas.
Yeah. I have a favorite beer, though. Go ahead. I'll let you go first, though.
You know, I don't know if I have a favorite beer. I have a style, and it's the hazy, double, triple hazy IPAs. Really like those. But I'm into, Equilibrium Brewery off of the East Coast, and I love Celestial because they just nail that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could really come down to a favorite, and here's why. Because there's so many choices, and I use that Untappd app, and my wife just always says, you know, I'm a beer nerd when we go out places. My whole goal, if I'm going to drink the beer, it has to be something I've not had before, and I won't order it unless it's a 4 or above on a scale of 5 rating nationally, and so therefore there's times I'll go somewhere, and it's like, you don't have that good a beer. I have water.
But what if they have the beer you love? You just didn't try it because it wasn't rated high enough. Yeah. I don't know. I'm all about the underdog.
Yeah, I've had some underdog wines and loved it. So my favorite is New Glarus Brewing Company, Southwest Madison, Wisconsin. And the beer is called the Spotted Cow.
With the cow on it. Yep. You got it.
So he knows. He's a Midwest guy.
I know very exactly. Nice.
People drive from miles to pick that beer up, and they shuttle it back to Texas. I'm one of those.
So I always, whenever I visit family in San Diego, I shuttle beer back, and my luggage always gets postponed because, I put my beer cans in Ziploc baggies, so it looks a little sketchy. But my favorite, Tony Gwynn was a Padres player, and he passed away, but he had this beer in the works, and so his children actually launched this beer, and it's like .394 or something like that, something to do with his number. But that's my favorite beer. Like, it's super, I don't think you'd like it. It's not dark, but it's definitely
I'm a middle-of-the-road guy.
It's definitely hoppy, but it's just amazing.
I overdosed on IPAs. Like, I just had too many, and then now, now I don't like them.
Yeah, it's an IPA, but you have two, and you're feeling good.
Dave, have you ever been or heard of the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, Colorado?
I have not heard of that one.
Okay, that's a fun time. So it's the largest beer festival in the United States, and it's every year. Nice. And it's over days of an event. So they don't just do, one brewery tasting thing like you do locally, right? And you buy a punch card and you're there for the afternoon. that you buy sessions. So you do that over sessions because there's thousands of breweries there.
So that's going to be a company field trip, right?
That is, yeah, that's going to be a company field trip. So like you can't go and experience it all. You have to do it over several sessions because there's so many breweries there.
So like Oktoberfest.
I mean, it's in the large convention center in Denver. It takes up a just ton. And then what's cool about it is because it's such a community, the restaurants get involved, and then there's little events you can, you know, right? Like you can go to a restaurant or where they're sponsored by the event, and it's particularly like they're trying to raise money or whatever, right? So,
man, that's crazy. So I've been to not too far from Chicago, up in Munster, Indiana. It's Three Floyds Brewery, and they have a festival every year called the Dark Lord Festival. And it was just pre-COVID. We went up there, and one of my buddies, they had really just gotten me into all the craft beers and everything. Mm-hmm. Because up until about 6 years ago, I was like, oh my gosh, stay away from that stuff. But we went up there, you know, it's like $250 for a ticket to get in. And, you know, they had beers all day. It was a great time. But the cool part of it was, at the end of the day, they gave you, you had tickets to get in, and they gave you like five beers. And that was their launch day every year that they launched new releases.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's kind of like Founders Brewery. You know, they release their beers once a year, their new releases. Well, anyway, you know, I got this specialty beer and a bomber, and I walked out, and there's all these people, like, waiting for you. They're like, what'd you get? What'd you get? I'll buy it for $100, $200. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're kidding.
Wow, so, that's cool.
Yeah, so I get home, and there's, like, 15,000 people there, but I get home, put it online on a beer app. I had a guy from Chicago, lived out on Navy Pier, rented a car, drove down to Warsaw, Indiana, met my son, and I sent it with him, and he paid $275 for this one bomber beer. This one bottle, $275 is what he paid me for it.
Dang.
And it was kind of funny because we had told my son at the time, he was like 20 years old, he was home for college, and we said, if you will drive us, so he drove one of my buddy's minivans, drove us while we were in the festival all day, and then drove us home. So everybody threw in some money.
Right.
I didn't totally understand the concept yet. So I was like, and whatever I get for selling my money bottle, I called it, I'll give to you. Well, the kid made like $700 because all my buddies gave him $100, and then I give him $275 when he sold it. And you know, he's like, anytime you guys want to go to a beer festival, I'm your guy. I'll drive.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun time. So
the weirdest beer in my head is Dogfish Head. You ever tried that beer?
Absolutely.
That beer is weird, and it's on purposely weird.
Dogfish Head.
Yeah, so it's very bitter. It's very strong. And so if you read like the history and the story of their branding, they create weird beer for people who like weird beer. And so it's kind of one of those testaments of like, we know it's kind of dank and weird, but it's for people who really like that kind of stuff. And so they're not going to change it.
Angry Beaver, I think, was the most.
The Angry Beaver. I love that.
See, aggressive.
I thought they just made sours for people that, you know, like weird beers. I'm not a sours person.
No,
so.
Gross.
Well, and then they make like peanut butter beer.
Oh, I'm indifferent. Like breakfast sandwiches, beer, and cupcakes. And
I'm like, probably not. I mean, I love peanut butter, but with my beer, probably not.
I like Mango Cart. My buddies make fun of me when I drink that because that's good. It's from California.
Okay.
Tastes like a mango.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's good.
One or two of those around the pool on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mango Cart would get you drunk on a Saturday when it's 100 degrees out because it's light and crisp and it just probably goes down like water.
I probably should keep it out of the kiddie pool then.
Well, Dave, give us some highlights, man. I mean, what sets you apart from just your, you know, your peers? I don't necessarily want to say competition, you know, but just what makes you shine above the rest of the pack when it comes to just using mortgage professional and then, you know, with your business with Impact Training.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, at the end of the day, our product is something that people can get anywhere, right? They can go online, get a mortgage, but it's the personal touch. And so over the years, my whole business is built upon relationships and taking care of people, staying with them. And they know that I'm going to give them honest advice, and not that other people do not. I mean, there's so many good professionals in the industry,
right?
But it just comes down to relationships. And so, you know, I heard a saying a while back that when you walk into a room, you know, you could walk into a room of 100 people and literally, you know, 25 people in that room are going to be your audience, right? That 75 of them may or may not like you. 25% right off the bat won't like you. And so it's like, just find your tribe. Find the 25% that are your audience that kind of like your jam and your feel. And so I've always said in the mortgage industry, you know, my role is to break a process that's somewhat stressful for people. It's not difficult, but it is stressful. And so I like to break it down into an easy understand process for people. And the other thing is I always tell people, listen, there's going to be a point in time in the transaction you're going to hit some stress. It's inevitable. And it can be as simple as I need one more piece of paper, but we're dealing with people's emotions and their finances. And so,
right.
You know, and I just tell them my role at that time is to kind of walk you through that, kind of minimize the anxiety, set clear expectations, communicate clearly, and just help you get through that. Versus I hear people in my industry all the time because I coach them. They're so afraid to just step up to the plate and tell people, listen, this isn't going to be as easy as we make it look online, right? There are like 1,000 moving parts behind the scenes. And I've said for years, if people really understood how many different hands or people, functions are involved getting their mortgage closed, you'd really be surprised that it comes out on the other end and anybody ends right. up at closing because so many people are involved, right? But we make it look easy, and as salespeople, I think sometimes they're afraid to just tell people that, hey, there may be some bumps, right? But I'm here to help you, and when we get there, I'm going to walk you through that. And what happens in, at least in our industry, and I see it with real estate agents as well, everybody tries to kind of take that high road of no problem. Well, then when there is an issue, a problem, some stress, everybody's a little bit shocked as to, well, why are their emotions so high? And my point is, if you would have prepared them for that, then you can remind them. You bring them back and say, remember when we talked about this 30 days ago? I told you there was probably going to be a time before closing where you were going to get a little anxious because
right.
now the moving van's here.
Right.
You know, if it's a you know a spouse, you know, let's say it's the wife, her husband's working and she's stuck packing and doing all kinds of things, or vice versa, and it's just people get stressed. And
right.
so that's the biggest thing. I try to communicate clearly and just tell people, you know, this isn't the easiest process in the world. And unfortunately, we're dealing with governmental guidelines, mm-hmm. and so we have to jump through some hoops. But stick with me, and we'll make the process a little as smooth as possible.
Expect hurdles.
Great.
Yeah, but go through them with ease because you've got Dave.
There you yes. go. I like that.
So yeah. How do we get a hold of you, Dave?
You can get a hold of me. It's really easy. I've got one place. It's talkingwithdave.com. www.talkingwithdave.com kind of takes you to my website.
With
all of the different places you can go, phone numbers, calendars, talkingwithdave.com.
And then you're also an active member of the community as well. I'm sure you go to networking events and such as well.
Networking events, member of, you know, a great church here in town. And so just, yeah, loving the community and getting out, meeting more and more people. And so if you need somebody to come to a meeting and just hang out with you, kind of check out your group. I'd love to be that guy to come and meet more people and network.
Yeah, or if you like beer, he'll meet you at a brewery.
Yeah.
He'll meet you at Three Nations. He was just there last
Woo-hoo.
Night. Did you go to the one in Carrollton or did you go to the one in Anna?
Carrollton.
Yeah. The one in Anna is not as exciting, but the one in Carrollton. Have you been to the one in Carrollton, Mel? Oh, they got all the games, and it's in a big warehouse, and
cool.
You can play cornhole, and they got, yeah, it's just bigger. It's not, like, better. It's just larger, and I think that's where they make all the beer
but
as
the
well.
The Texas motto is bigger yep. is better, right?
Bigger is better. I love it.
Well, thanks so much, Dave, for joining us with our podcast today and just becoming our friend and our acquaintance, and, you know, if you guys need anybody in the mortgage space, obviously, you know who to reach. Just call Dave. Give us that website one more time, Dave.
Talkingwithdave.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
See ya.